Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Weiner, and thanks for tuning in to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. Where is God? You see, believers are quick to answer this question with some kind of theological token about omnipresence. And non-believers are quick to answer that if they knew the answer, they would probably just believe. Now, in today's broadcast, I will begin a series where we examine what seems like the unrelated topic of blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. But as you'll see, I begin from a much wider field of view. So join me now as we see beyond the blockchain and locate the hidden or crypto God. Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to have you back. Welcome to Sunday. Welcome to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Weiner. I am an online pastor, an author, and an uncoach, and I'm glad to have you here. Welcome if this is your first time. Welcome to you as well. I know folks are streaming this live. I know that people listen to it on a podcast, and I also know that people are out there driving around listening to this on the radio, and I just want to welcome everybody. Today, we're going to begin a series of something that I'm very, very interested in, but I've only known about it really for maybe since February or so. And the more I learn about it, the more amazed I am and the more things I'm drawing, the parallels I'm putting together. And I am going to introduce some of these ideas to you over the next few weeks. So what in the world am I talking about? Well, you're going to have to hold on and see, because first I want to invite you to go to my website, kevinweiner.com. That's K-E-V-E-N, winder.com. And sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's called Winder's Windshield. I would love to have you do that. If you do, you'll have access to my podcast that I've done for the last 2 years, every radio broadcast in 6 years of blog posts, including uncoaching, questions, anything else that you have for me. I would love to begin a dialogue with you. But I need you to go to kevinweiner.com and sign up today. So what exactly is this subject that I'm so excited about? Well, it's blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. Now, you know, when most people want to talk about this, they are looking at it almost purely as an investment opportunity. But after I've learned about this, I'm seeing something much bigger emerge, and I really want to bring that to your attention. And so today, the title of our talk is called The Crypto God. Crypto God. And we have to really begin with a very sobering question. And that question is, where is God? Where is God? I mean, the skeptic always asks this when he or she sees the suffering in the unjust world, right? I mean, they can't look at the evening news and say, oh yeah, there's a good God out there. This would never happen. And a believer asks this question, where is God, when their life just doesn't line up with the promises that came from the pulpit, right? Perhaps they had a pastor or teacher that was telling them that, hey, if you follow Jesus, your life is going to turn out rosy. And they look at their life and it's anything but rosy. And, you know, in Matthew 27, Jesus essentially asks the same question when he says, my God, where or why have you forsaken me? He's asking, where is God? So this is a very legitimate question. And anyone who's ever delved into the recesses of their soul, either by a religion or some kind of practice of self-awareness, has no doubt wondered, where is God? Now, in the sobriety of this really stark and arid moment, many people have resolved this question by avoidance. And the avoidance technique is simply to conclude that there is no God. Atheism is the answer for so many people, which is really just another way of saying that if there was a God, life would be other than what it is. In other words, I have an idea about God, and it should match up with what I see or hoped the life would be, and it doesn't. So therefore, there can't be a God. So it's really an avoidance strategy from this very sobering question. So what does this have to do with cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology? And so my job over the next few weeks is really to kind of elevate your sight horizon so that you can connect these dots. They seem like unrelated topics, but I assure you they're not. I mean, it would be enough of a task for me to simply illuminate the implications of blockchain technology to you. But it's to go wider even still, that's a really tall order. But it's one that I think is really worth it. And I think it is a philosophical place for you to really re-examine the things that you see in the world, to really look at your life, and perhaps you can answer that question anew. And that question, which we're going to go back to right now, is where is God? Now, perhaps you have a default mode within your thinking. You know, maybe you have a theological construct about omnipresence. And that sense of omnipresence that, hey, God is everywhere, really comforts your mind. And most religious and spiritual people do have that. They do say, well, you know, God is everywhere. God is in all things. God is, you know, he's up there. God is down there. God is wherever, you know. But my next question is does just a mental attestation to the idea that God is everywhere actually satisfy everything that your eyes see? I mean, how exactly does the idea that God is everywhere resolve human oppression, child abuse, and war? When you look at war, do you feel omnipresence? Do you relate to omnipresence when you see or hear about abuse and human oppression, tragedies and suffering all over the world? You see, I invite you to sit a little bit longer with the tension that this question creates. I mean, do you just summon up another theological token, which kind of deflects the spotlight, which is examining our soul? You know, can you just explain all the human suffering away as human sin? And if so, then how do you reconcile the token that Jesus has taken away the sin of the world, like it says in John 2:2, 1 John 2:2? Right? I mean, if he's taken away the sin of the world, then why are we seeing so much of it on the nightly news? You know, all world religions are kind of propped up by dancing around these existential moments and this vital, vital question. I mean, we go to our priests and our imams and our pastors and our yogis, and they all reassure us that if, you know, that our chosen framework, our chosen religion, our path of spirituality, it will answer everything if we just believe and obey. Now, as I reflect back on my own life story, I can tell you that, you know, I became an obedient doctrinal dancer, too, to answer these existential questions of life. Yeah, I gained a lot of knowledge. I mean, I have a PhD in theology, so I can tell you I've put a lot of time into learning. You know, but my ego just ended up getting puffed up, and what happened is I became very certain about life and these hard questions, and basically felt as though, well, people just need to come to me and I would be able to answer these really hard questions. And I had a very rigid theological grid, which I could run anybody through and explain it all, chapter and verse. You know, I mastered the skill of the dancer, but I rarely made it to the actual dance. See, like most, I thought God was in the religion. I thought God was in the framework. I thought God was in the theological construct. Those are but mere tiny containers that cannot hold what's on the inside. And it wasn't until I took off my tap shoes that I could see that God was hiding right in plain sight. And it was this exile of my life where I had to deconstruct everything that I thought meant anything to me, where I gained a new lens to help me see beyond things. And if God cannot be associated with the horrors of life, then I wonder if we have a grasp of God at all. You know, the reformers got at this through sovereignty. But sometimes the people who followed the reformers take sovereignty to a level where it just oppresses people. It doesn't allow them the freedom to sit with the question and wrestle and just be. So, you know, if God fits within our theological box, then we must not have God. We just have a malleable toy, a doll that comforts us at night. And here's the reason why I find the Christ story so compelling. It's because it depicts a God as the architect who ascribes meaning to everything. You see, suffering exists because beauty is diminished without it. There's something beautiful in it. And though I may not always have the eyes to see, it's there. And this God writes himself into the human story as his most beloved, who participates in every form of human suffering, every form of human sorrow, every form of loss. Isaiah 53:3 says that he was a man acquainted with grief, a man of many sorrows, as they prophesy about what this Messiah, this person bringing in this kingdom, would be like. It's not some triumphant, victorious power that overpowers everything. No, no, no. It's a man acquainted with sorrow, going through the path of grief and pain and suffering, an identity with the human plight. That breaks the two-story mold for me completely. I mean, if you ever considered that God was up there and we're down here, you know, then that destroys it. That doesn't exist. And, you know, we go to our churches and so often we have crosses and lights and everything, and there's altars and they're all up high and up front. And, you know, it's like God's up there and we're down here. It's still there. But you see, God is Emmanuel, we're told, which means God with us, God as us, God hides in us. And so suffering is not the lack of God's love, as most of the doubters and skeptics have concluded. Suffering is actually the gateway to love's very depth. And I know that is a hard, hard connection to make. But those who apprehend it have been given a gift. Those who kind of can see what I'm getting at, you have something that the most of the world hasn't yet been able to possess. They get glimpses of it. Everybody gets glimpses and pieces of this. We just know it to be true when we're standing at a graveside or holding on to the hand of a newborn or hugging somebody, and the love is there. But this connection that suffering is and love go together, that's not made just intellectually. You can't think your way into that. I mean, you can put the dots together and it makes sense, but it will not satisfy pain in your soul. No, that connection is made primarily within your inner experience. You have to walk and experience God. And we get the sense that God is hiding somewhere within us, that God is there, and he's not up there or out there or over there, but he's in here. And sometimes you wonder, am I just talking to myself? Is this just a self-talk, a dialogue in my own head? Am I crazy? Am I thinking? Or what is this? What is this conversation? What is this interaction that's taking place within me, that's searching, that's seemingly to arrive at answers without, you know, just figuring out where they're coming from? You see, for many people, life is really just detached. It's unhappy. It's meaningless. Everything seems meaningless and detached and isolated events. And that's the whole existence. And for many of those people, they fear hell. And they fear it unnecessarily, because what they don't realize is that a detached, unhappy, and meaningless life means you're already living in hell. See, the correction, though, is being found by what we thought was a hidden God, right? There is this way of connecting unrelated things, which is absolutely amazing. And Colossians 3:3 tells us that our life, our very life, is hidden in God. Have you ever considered that? Maybe you intuited this at a deep level, but you didn't understand or have words to put around it. Your life is hidden in God. And the Greek word, kekryptai, or crypto, means hidden. It means kept safe. And the term in Colossians 3:3 comes from a tense in the Greek that means that it's unchangeable and it's a factual state of being, a state of being. So hidden in God is an unchangeable fact, a state of being. Crypto is ontological. And that word we've used in almost every episode of this radio broadcast. Ontology is all about being. My life message is all about your being, not about your doing. This isn't a performance we're talking about. This is about you accessing that place within you that is deep and is known. You see, hidden is our true GPS coordinate. Hidden in God. And by seeing this suffering Christ story, we can see that same story played out in our very life. And that's what Paul is saying in Colossians 3:4 when he tells us that our life is Christ. Our life is with Christ. See, I'm connecting some very big strands here, because when we get to crypto, you have to see the bigger picture. And that is that the Christ story, no matter what you think of Christianity or other world religions, the Christ story is hidden within our story. Every one of us is replaying that tape in one way or another. We're suffer. We're dejected. We're forgotten. We have something in us which is a strong message we want to bring, and people don't listen. They don't pay attention. We get discouraged, right? But we're on the winning side and the outside doesn't see it, right? That's the Christ story, that we fall and we die these little deaths throughout our life, but we keep rising up into new life, that these bad, horrible things that happen to us turn out to be tremendously beautiful and restorative and empowering. And they make us into who we are. And without them, we would never have or be what we are. This is the Christ story that plays out in every single life. And we see it everywhere in our world. Now, being able to connect that is huge. Christ is hidden, right in plain sight. And our life, we ourselves are hidden, right in plain sight. And together, we are all kept safe. We are crypto in God. Our life is hidden, right in plain sight. The crypto God is actually closer to us than we are to ourselves. So hidden is who we are. And this really reframes all of our little theological tokens, doesn't it? We don't have to look at omnipresence in the same way anymore. The crypto God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Now sit with this. Let that marinate for just a minute. Now, believe it or not, this is the starting point of everything. And for the series, it's the starting point of the new horizon of blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. Now, for you, you might have just thought I switched huge gears right there. And I hope over the coming weeks you realize that I haven't. Yes, these two topics are connected. In the holy moment, everything is connected. The Jews called this the Shema, where they said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one." You see, we're talking about unity. We're talking about binding together, a power to bond disconnected things into one single thing. And the greater the connection, the greater the security. The greater the chain, the more secure. See, and on the widest plane of spirituality, there really is only one thing. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 8:6. And so I'm starting with the crypto God. Because if you idolize the blockchain, if you're one of those crypto people who are already just buzzing about this subject and you can't turn it off, then the promise of decentralization and healing the world may never be realized if you turn the blockchain into an idol. But it just may be that the blockchain technology is inaugurating a framework that restores the world, that decentralizes corrupt powers. But how would you know if you just shrink it into an investment opportunity? And you may not know a single thing about what I'm talking about, and I hope you come back over the coming weeks as I explain it to you. But before, we have to get to the philosophical place before we get to the technical place. We have to learn before we understand the amazing platform of blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. We have to learn that we have to steward the blockchain with wisdom. We cannot just allow our own corruptions to find their way into this. And so I'm not going to be talking about how to get rich. I am going to talk about how to bring riches and restoration through the blockchain. And I'm going to offer you a lens to see and pursue the kingdom and its righteousness. Wealth is always a byproduct, and sometimes that shows up as money. Now, if wealth becomes your goal, it's become an idol, and we find ourselves trying to master yet another dance while we miss the dancer. So if our life is hidden or crypto in God, and if our life is Christ, then our world outside our door is really the promised kingdom. We don't have to wait any longer. You see, there is no doubt that the new world is arriving. The question is, will we be ready? You know, in Matthew 25, it talks about 10 virgins who were going out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them took their lamps and extra oil. And 5 of them took just their lamps. And the bridegroom was delayed in coming, and the 5 of them ran out of oil. And they said, hey, can you give us some oil so that we can, you know, keep our lamps trimmed until the bridegroom comes? And they said, I'm sorry, we don't have enough for us and for you, so you have to go back to the town and get some more. And of course, when they went and got it, the bridegroom had come for only 5 because the other 5 were not ready. And the blockchain technology in the emerging world that's below us technologically is certainly a world which I think Scripture would warn us to be ready for. The arrival of the blockchain means that a kingdom with an entirely other set of rules is now a global reality. It's not a global possibility. It is a global reality. And everybody is invited into it. And in fact, most people will start to merge over into cryptocurrencies and blockchain once they start to understand what's happening in the world. But by then, it could be too late. By that time, for many, it could be that their oil is run out. And so I want to invite everybody into this big story. And I'm going to weave in it the theology and the faith and the reality and the philosophy of something so much bigger. And I hope that you'll come, because everybody is invited. But like it says in Luke 14:6, when the master sent people all over the city to come to his banquet, not everybody is going to come. Many people are just preoccupied with their life, and they can't make time for something new like this. So I want to invite you to come back over the next couple weeks while we learn about this. And I hope that you can see what is hidden beyond the blockchain. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.